Well, good morning. Good having all of you here this morning, and I'm thrilled to be here with you. And I'm just excited. You know, usually when I preach on giving or something like that, everybody's mad at me. So I almost halfway expected that. And it was a big thing in front of us, you know, and we looked at the amount. That first thing we seen is that it was big. It's like, wow, yeah, really? Small congregation, you know, it's not like we got 100 or 200 people, you know, in the congregation, and you want us to what? You know, and but look at what you did. And a lot of us haven't even given yet. And look what you've done already. You see, what God has called me to is to teach people to believe. You know, we know a lot of word. We've read the Bible. But a lot of times it's just words on paper. It's like, oh, that's good. And we memorize it and we can share that. But a lot of times down in our heart, we don't believe, you know, because we don't do it. It's a good indication you do what you believe. So we've got to realize that it's a big deal. Don't just know the word, but do the word. That's what James is saying. He said, be doers of the word and not just hearers. And he says, in that you deceive yourself. And there's so many people that are deceived, good people that love God, but they're not encouraged to go all the way. And that's so important for us to do. So I commend you guys. I really do. That was a big deal. And I was thinking, Lord, if they just do it, you will bless their socks off, because I know your word works. And see, with me, when God told me that I was to teach people to believe, I'm like, oh, great, thanks. You know, that's a hard saying to do. So what I do is I simply trust God first. I preach his word with all of my heart. And I make sure that I do what I say. I don't just talk it. And then I try to encourage people the best I know how to just try God. Just try him and see what he'll do in your life and in your families. So that's my heart, and that's what I do. And I've seen it so hard, but that's what the Lord showed me. Just teach it and encourage them. I'm like, I'll do that. If you would, turn with me to Matthew 6. I want to start with verse 19. I like to talk about storing up treasures. You know, we all know how to build a bank account and our savings and, you know, to save up for different things. But a lot of times we don't understand what it means really to store up treasures in heaven. I think it's important to know that and then to participate in that. So Jesus tells us and teaches us that we should prioritize heavenly treasures over earthly ones. Our giving and acts of service contribute to our eternal rewards. So let me say it again. Our giving and acts of service contribute to our eternal rewards. Will you pray with me? Father, I just thank you for the opportunity for all of us to be able to hear your word. Lord, I ask that as your word is shared, that Holy Spirit, you would just open our hearts and say, have people just to say that, Lord, teach me. I want to know. And Lord, what I hear and what I know in your scriptures to be true, give me the strength, the ability, and the power to be able to do it at whatever the cost, but that we do it, that we be doers of your word and not just hearing it and thinking it's all good. So Lord, have your way today in this service, at this time, with your people right now. We give you thanks and praise, and we honor you, Father, with your word. Bless us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 6, starting with verse 19, just a couple of, well, a few verses there. It says, starting in verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So it's talking about treasures in heaven and building them up rather than building everything up here on this earth. Nothing wrong with having savings and different things. I'm not saying that, but I believe that the main idea in God's word of us trusting him would be to trust him that, you know, a lot of people think, well, when you give, you just throw it away. I could have put that in a bank and saved it, and I would have had it for a rainy day or whatever. But here I gave it away, and so now it's gone forever. And the Lord said, that's not true. He said, you're sowing, and your treasure now is going into heaven. And you're building your account there. And so that's what we need to do, is building our treasure, realizing that we're not just throwing our money away. Well, that's a loss. But God sees all that we do for him. And let me tell you, he puts it in our account. And as we go through, you're going to see that in his word. The Bible does encourage the idea then of building a heavenly account through our sowing, our giving, and our acts of kindness. This concept is rooted in the understanding that our acts of generosity and kindness have eternal significance and can lead to rewards in heaven. It's what we're talking about. So let me look at this. I'm going to throw out some key points and some examples here from Scripture to illustrate these principles for our lives. Number one, generosity. Generosity leading to blessings. The Bible teaches that generous giving leads to blessings, both in this life and in the life to come. God rewards those who are faithful in their giving and their acts of kindness. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll start with verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians 9, that is chapter 9, starting with verse 6. And Paul says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he who disperses abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness then endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply, multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Y'all see what the Lord is saying here? He's saying, give. Now check out, are you generous? Do you want to be generous, or do you want to just barely do it? And he says, so if you're generous, he says, you'll be blessed generously. But if you do it in a limited way, well, I don't really feel like giving. That's okay. And so you just do a little bit. The Lord says, I can't bless you. See, God is the one who wants to bless us. He has everything, and he wants to give it to us. But he's got to have us with the heart to be able to receive. So you can go to church like we read last week in Luke, I believe 11, about the Pharisees, where they did everything right. They kept the law. They did everything right. And then some. But the Lord says, one thing you lack. You clean up and you look good on the outside, but on the inside, not so good. You're dirty. And see, that's where the giving comes in. The Lord says you ought to give alms. Take care of the poor. Don't forget about justice and God's love in your life. So it's important to understand that. Otherwise, you miss out. Folks, if you can understand that God wants to bless, he wants to bless you. But you gotta make your heart right so he can do that. He builds your account. Folks, you know, down here you might earn, what do you earn in your savings? 0.5% or 1%? But a lot of it in heaven's 100%. But we gotta do it with the right heart. And who do you think gives you then the seed? See, God wants us to be a giver. So what does he do? He says, I supply seed to the sower. I'm the one that's going to give you what you need so you can bless people. And as you give to bless others, then I can bless you. And that's how it works. See, a lot of us think, no, we just try to do our own. No, there's seed for sowing. And then there's fruits and other things for us, for bread, to eat and to sustain us. So we got to learn that, you know, a lot of people come against, they say, well, that's prosperity teaching. It's like, okay, then why do you work all these jobs and put all the time into that? You don't go to church most of the time. You don't give because it's more important for you to have that money and put up. See, people are working so hard trying to prosper and trying to get money and get rich, but they want to do it on their own. God can't help them. Their concept is if you give, you've thrown it away because God isn't going to bless. And that's even wrong to think of that way. And folks, I'm going to tell you, these people are deceived. They don't understand how it works. So just read that scripture over again. You know, I won't take time to do it now, but you need to read that. What is it really saying? We need to be blessed that we can be a blessing to others. Hosea 10:12 says this. He says, plow up some new ground for yourselves. Plant righteousness and reap blessings. For your devotion to me, that is to God, will produce. So what you're doing, you're plowing, you're planting. You want a bigger harvest that you can give more and do more for God. And he talks about, because of your devotion to me and your desire to serve me in your giving, he says, I will bless it. I will bless your produce. So it's time for you to turn to me, your Lord, and I will come and pour out blessings upon you. Folks, don't tell me God doesn't give. Y'all think you got what you got on your own? Yeah, you worked hard, but I'll tell you, if it wasn't for God blessing it and your work, you wouldn't have what you got. There's people who've had way more than we've ever had that are probably living under a bridge in Detroit right now because they didn't walk with God and didn't do it God's way because they didn't know maybe or decided they wasn't going to do it. How about, let's look at number two, reaping what we sow. The principle of sowing and reaping indicates that what we give will come back to us, often in greater measure. This applies not only to material giving, but also to acts of kindness and service. Galatians 6:7. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, it says this. It says, do not be deceived. There's a lot of people that are deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. We got to stay with it, folks. Don't let the enemy get you down and you get discouraged. You got to stick with us and God, no, I trust you. And there's a lot of times that I pray and we could be down about something and I'll say, God, you said. God, you said. And I stand on his word, and God, let me tell you, stands on his word. Therefore, as we have opportunity, folks, opportunity. See, that's what I was seeing about doing this elevator thing. It's opportunity. God, thank you for the opportunity that you're giving our church to learn how to give, to learn to depend upon you. And to see you bless us. And I knew that if we would do as good as we could do, that God was going to bless it immensely. So you're going to see a lot of things happen. Use those that were giving and, well, all of us that give, that you're going to see blessings. You're going to see things come and you're like, wow, that was good. I wonder how that worked out. And just know that it was a blessing. Just know that it's God blessing. So it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. And then it says, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You know what the first church did in Acts? Here they're having thousands of people joining the church. They're getting bigger and bigger. They didn't have social security programs and retirements and all of this kind of stuff. There was a lot of people that were very poor. And because of that, a lot of them that had land and other properties and different businesses and all that, they sold a lot of things. And then they gave it to the disciples to take care of the widowers and those that were in need in the congregation. And see, that's what we need to look and do for each other in our body. We got to take care of each other. You know, we're all a family in Christ, and we need to learn to take care of it. You see a need in one of our brothers and sisters inside, there's an opportunity. See, I see all of that as opportunity. It's like, thank you, Lord, that I can do something there, whether it's go to someone and pray for them, whether it's to give something. Folks, it's opportunity. But when you take it all on yourself to do what you want, thinking that God can't even help, so I've just got to try to do it on my own. I got a grandson. He was saved last year. Or was it the year before, Brandon? But anyway, I gave my plow business to Brandon. Because it's something in between through the winter. He could make some extra money, try to get ahead. And the Lord blessed us through it. I want to tell you, he really blessed us through it. So I turn it all over to him, free. I want to bless him. He didn't really have a father growing up. I was his father. And we took care of him. We grew him up and all of this. But he had no one to give him anything. And I said, Lord, I want to be a blessing to him. So I gave him this business. And I figured to make him maybe buckle down a little bit to do this, I would sell him one of my plow trucks. Well, he paid us a little bit for it. But anyway, he's not doing things for the Lord. And so he tore up his truck. He's trying to fix it now. Still doesn't run right. Spent over $2,000 and it's still about what it was. And so all the money that he's making, it's going for repairs and different things. He comes and gets my truck after I fill it with fuel, with diesel. And he says, Grandpa, I haven't got my truck fixed yet. Can I use yours? So he'll go out all day and he'll plow hard. And then, of course, park the truck in the garage where it belongs. And I need to fill it. And that's okay. But he's working so hard and I can see him go downhill rather than gain on this. And he gets all this money coming in, but he's kind of wasteful. They go out and eat. Folks, we can't afford to go out and eat. You know, it's tough. Go out and you spend $50 for a meal or more. It's probably more than that going to McDonald's anymore. But he does all, and he's going downhill rather than uphill. Rather than gaining, he's learned, so Brandon, you need to get in church. You got two little kids. Get your family in church. And I said, you need to tithe. You need to get with it, man. That's why things are going wrong with you. Folks, I had that truck. I didn't have any trouble with it. Very seldom did I ever have. And then it'd be just a minor thing. And it wasn't a big deal. We would just run and do. And, you know, I bought an old truck years ago from a guy who had a big plow service. It's about the first truck I think we bought with a plow. And I had been running it for like 6 years, plowing hard with it. And the guy that sold it to me, he said, that thing's still running? He said, how are you doing it? That thing was ready to be hauled off to a junkyard when we sold it to you. And he says, we plowed hard with that thing. I said, hey, I don't know. It just keeps running. It's a Timex, I guess. Just keeps on running. And see, people are just amazed. And I sold it to another guy. He took it, and then it fell apart. Of course, he's not a churchgoer. He's not a giver. You know, and I thought it was okay because it was perfect when I had it. And it wasn't long, it's not running. See, folks, that's blessings. Walk with God and see the blessings. Be obedient to what the Word says. That's why when I have a need and I have a problem, I go to the Word. God, what do you say? And then I'm determined to do it. So I encourage you in that. Man, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. I know even after we were saved and we started progressively learning the right things to do, there were still bad things happening. But folks, that was the junk that I sowed earlier in my life. But see, now it's changing. It's not that bad things don't happen once in a while. But it's like it doesn't crush us like it used to. We're more confident now. God, you got this under control. I'm serving you, and I know what kind of God you are. And I trust that with all of my heart. So let me give you some examples. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And I'll just talk through it real fast because I'm kind of running out of time. Go figure. But it's about Elijah and the widow. So Elijah, that's with the S, E-L-I-S-H-A. There was a woman out collecting some sticks. See, God had told him earlier, he says, I want you to go to Zarephath, and there's going to be a widow woman there who's going to take care of you. And it's like, go figure, widow woman, usually they're the ones that have nothing because nobody's taking care of them, kind of on their own. Husband's dead, so they have really no income. So she's out picking up some sticks, and here the drought is going on, and nobody has anything. And he asked her, says, hey, could you get me a glass of water, please? And so she said, sure, I can go do that. See the good works there? Sure, I'll go. She could have been so downhearted that, hey, buddy, let me get my sticks. Let me cook a couple of cakes for me and my son can just eat them and die. Please, can you not see what I'm trying to do here? But she didn't, no, I'll go get you some water. So she went and got water. And as she was going, Elijah said, hey, by the way, would you make a cake first for me? And then you can go and make one for you and your son. Because she had already said, well, we're just going to make these cakes because I only have a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. I'll make a couple of cakes. We're going to eat them and then there's no more. So we're just going to starve to death. And here he said, well, why are you going to get the water? Cook me a nice cake first and bring it to me so I can eat. Then, see, after you give all of your meal to me, and she didn't even know this guy, then you go cook some for you. Folks, that'd take a lot to do. You talk about giving. Huh? You give like that? So she went and did what he said. And then as the prophecy went and as he told her, he says, as long as this drought lasts, you will have enough meal and oil to last you and your son. So don't even worry about it. And of course that happened. But see, that was her good deed and her generosity and her really believing the word. And then how about Elijah, the first one? There was a lady, see, Elijah was running like a prophet school. And her husband was a prophet, this widow. Anyway, she owed some money. The family owed this guy a lot of money. Well, he's coming to take her sons to make them slaves. That is in, I believe it's 1 Kings chapter 17 is where that's located. And so she goes to Elijah and says, "What do I do?" She said, "You know how my husband served you. He was your servant. We trusted you. We gave everything. Our purpose was to be your servant. And now my husband's dead and a creditor's coming to take my two sons and make them his slaves." And then Elijah said, "Oh, can you imagine somebody coming to you like that?" And he's saying, "Well, I don't know what to do. What shall I do?" And then he said this. He said, "What do you have in your house?" She said, "I don't have anything. All I got is a little bit of oil in a jar. That's all I got. Now, what is that?" And he says, "What you do is you go home. You go and borrow as many empty containers that you can find. You bring them to the house," and then he says, "You take that little bit of oil you got and you start filling these jars, these buckets or whatever. I would have gotten them great big ones." And she poured and poured, and finally she says, "All right, bring me another one." And the son says, "You filled them all." She goes back to Elijah and says, "Now, okay, what do I do now? Man, that was great, but what do I do with all this oil?" He says, "Take it and sell it. Pay your debt." And then he says, "Live on the rest." Folks, this is how my God works and your God works. Can you imagine the blessings that the family had stored up by his sacrifice of serving Elijah all those years serving God? You see, we've got a God that knows how to give. He doesn't just require us to give, but he's a bigger giver than we are. I don't know if anybody could outgive God. Honestly, I don't know if there's anybody that can really outgive God. So anyway, rewards for actions and kindness. Jesus teaches this, that acts of kindness done in secret will be rewarded by God. This reinforces the idea that our giving and services are noted by God and will have eternal significance. And I'll just read Matthew 6, 3 through 4. It says, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you openly." We're not to brag about what we do. I even hesitated to share with you last week some of the things that I do. But I wanted you to be encouraged in how you can give and what God does because of it. I haven't told you probably the half of what we do. And I'm a giver. My wife is a much bigger giver than I am. I just make the money, she gives it away. No. But it's okay. I trust God working through her. And we've always been blessed. She said, "Well, you told me to do something with our tithe one time." And she says, That wasn't the right thing to do because we weren't blessed. So she said, I'm sorry, but I just took back control. I'm going to do it my way. I said, fine. That's good. See, I don't know everything. I just know that God's faithful. And I just know that I try hard to be faithful. And I know even when I blow it, God's still there. It says, son, I'm still with you. It's okay. I'll show you how to do it now. Folks, I'm just trying to help you believe and realize and understand the word talks about building that treasure in heaven. Your giving is not just money thrown away. It's for your good. Cleans your heart. It frees you. Folks, we're free to help people. We're not focused on our needs and what we have to do. And it's not that we have everything. That's not the thing. It's that we're free and we don't worry about all of our stuff. We give that to God. And that's how we live our life. And when a big need comes up, God provides. Or he gives me a job to do. At one time, I was working four jobs. Even driving a school bus. Folks, I could tell you stories, but I won't because I don't know what my left hand is doing with my right. You know what I mean? I just want to serve God, and I'm telling you, it works. So you still have opportunity to give in this project, and even in tithing. Do you all tithe? I'm sure you do, because you seem to be givers. You know, if you can give $4,700, and other people say, oh, I forgot about it. It's like, how many forgot about it? And you still took in that much money? I think you're going to have to give money back by the time we're done here. Because you guys are givers. And I commend you for it. And it's not necessarily the amount. It's that you give with your heart. You love God so much, and then you determined in your heart, God, I want to give this to you. You speak it out, and then God shines his light on it. In other words, he brings, helps you concentrate on it, and then brings it to pass. See, that's the kind of God I serve. It's not that I just got loose change or big money laying around that, oh, I can just take a little bit and throw it here or there. Folks, that's why I say, when's the last time we went out and ate? It's been months, I would think, or maybe a year now. I don't know. But we don't do it. Can't afford it. But folks, I can afford to give to a need because I'll dig deep. I've been saving money before for something that I really wanted. Found a need and end up giving that away. I'm like, great, now I'm starting over. But folks, that's how it is to serve God. See, God wants to do so much through all of us in this church. And you see in a lot of the blessings take place. I was sharing with my daughter. She came up for a birthday party for Brandon. And I was sharing with her all of the prophecies and the things that God was doing in the church and our giving and things. And she's just like, see, she goes to a big church. I don't know how many thousands of members they have. Big church. We've been there. Packed out. They have three services now? Four services. Big church, growing fast. But she was like looking at, like, wow, none of that's happening at our church. But it's happening here at Jesus' Lord Church. A little church out in the woods, out in the country, and just look what God's doing with you. And there's so much more that he wants to do. Folks, wait until the Holy Spirit starts pouring our gifts into us and revealing them and blessing us. See, folks, we've got to be blessed in order to use what God is going to give us. We've got to have our hearts clean and pure. We've got to be free. Free from all of the weight of the world and the cares. When you see miracles and different things happening. I better shut up. I'm over. But see, I'm trying to teach you how to believe. Probably. Because I was trying to move them and I switch them around. So just do the opposite. It's in there somewhere. But anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. And Lord, for your people. Lord, I ask that you would just help us to know your word, Lord, and then to just believe it and to act upon it. And we will be blessed. Lord, we are blessed already. Thank you so much, Lord, for doing your work through us. Lord, we bless you in everything. Now I want to speak a blessing over you. So may the Lord bless you. May he protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Thank you, Father. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.